It's time for a Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Nobody could ever tell you that you couldn't do it, because you did.
On Giants.com.
You know what I saw? New York Giant Prime.
And the Giants mobile app.
We'll punch you in the nose for 60 minutes with a relentless competitive attitude.
Part of the Giants Podcast Network.
Let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs and have some fun.
Welcome to our round three rapid reaction, or day three, rapid reaction of Big Blue Kickoff Live right here. It's been a long few days, folks. On Giants.com, on the Giants mobile app, and on all your favorite podcast platforms, which, of course, is on the Giants Podcast Network, presented by Investors Bank. John Schmelk, Paul Dottino, Lance Ometo with you. The Giants used three picks in the third day of draft action with their fourth round selection. We talked about this at the end of our show this afternoon, which you can find again on all those different platforms. Ellerson Smith from Northern Iowa. We will talk about him towards the end of this show, since you already touched on him a little bit. Gary Brightwell, a running back out of Arizona, and Rodarius Williams, a cornerback out of Oklahoma State. John Schmelk, Paul Dottino, Lance Ometo with you. We'll go probably about 10 minutes or so here, folks. Remember, we do have our show on Sunday at noon, where we'll do a full reaction to the entire draft and take some more calls with you. So, guys, we'll get to Smith last, since we already touched on him earlier. Let's get to Gary Brightwell. We also heard, by the way, from Dave Gettleman, Chris Pettit, and Joe Judge. Chris Pettit is their director of college scouting, about these guys, so we have some background here. Gary Brightwell, the notes on him that seem to be most prevalent in the way they talked about him, a very good special teams player. It seems like Tom Quinn played a big role, and Thomas McGahee, in getting them to look at this guy, to make him a factor. And they also talked about his powerful running style. He's between 215, 220 pounds. So they think he can help Paul in both aspects of the game there.
It seemed to me, if I understood correctly what the front office was talking about, they were saying his kickoff coverage is one of the things that I thought that they really liked, and also on the kick team. Big, strong body. Most important, though, and I think we've heard this enough from Jeff Fiegels over the years, your special teams guys have to be hungry to play special teams. They have to love it, because when they do, it shows on the field. You can't hide that.
And he talked about it like he loved it in his interview.
Oh, you think? He was just absolutely salivating. And I'm a special teams guy. I love playing special teams. That's the way to get, you know, to win. He was just overflowing with it. A special teams coach's dream, I would say. So I'm sure that's what first attracted McGahee and Quinn to him. And then, of course, as you just discussed, they showed the tape, front office, personnel, head coach. They all look at it. Then Judge interviewed the fellow on Zoom. And, well, what do you know? He's going to be a Giant.
Well, and if you're going to be a third or fourth running back on the depth chart, you better want to play special teams. You better love it.
And if you want a jersey, you better, yep.
Correct. So that, I think, is the first priority. I think he realizes, hey, I got Saquon Barkley. I got Devontae Booker in front of me, a free agent. I know that if I'm going to get on the field, I'm going to have to do it on special teams. So it's nice to see clearly that he welcomes that. And Joe Judge was the one that said when he was reviewing the film, he really liked his hustle in getting down the field and finding those tight crevices. Actually, the term that I thought was interesting was when he was speaking to the media, Brightwell, he said that he likes to search for the hidden yardage in special teams.
Yes.
And that is one of Joe Judge's famous lines, as well as any passionate special teamer. So he's got a good mindset, and you need that, especially once again, when you know Saquon Barkley's coming back from that injury last year, the torn ACL. He's going to be the guy doing the heavy lifting. If anybody else is going to be a running back in the mix this season, it's going to be a complementary role, because you expect them to feed the ball to Barkley as much as possible. So you're going to have to find a way to make a name for yourself on special teams. And it's a positive that he understands that and he welcomes that opportunity.
Yeah, and he didn't take over as Arizona's full-time running back until his senior year. He started all five games they played. Remember, the Pac-12 had a very reduced schedule. So he never had more than 91 carries in a season. So as a ball carrier, simply hasn't done it a lot. He had 525 yards as a sophomore. As a senior, 390 yards and 88 carries. They like his power. He's a slasher. He weighed into 218 pounds at his pro day, ran a 4.58 40-yard dash. So he has some traits you like, and that's something he'll have to develop into. Some of the notes, at least that I've seen, is that his pass pro needs to get a little bit better, which I'm sure is something he can work on if he wants to get on the field on third downs. But he's a guy that can add to the depth chart at running back. Anything else you guys want to add on him before we jump to the next spot?
Go ahead, Paul. Well, he said his family was Giants fans, except for his mom. She was an Eagles fan, but she'll be a Giants fan now. And that Tiki Barber is his favorite running back. So I thought that was kind of cool, too.
Well, you know, whenever they throw out any Giants historical players
meat.
Or numbers, you understand Paul's ears are going to perk up.
That is red
up,
meat
so.
For Dottino.
Exactly.
Oh boy.
I'm not surprised. He was smiling, I'm sure, ear to ear when he heard that. What I wanted to add was, John, you brought up an interesting point, which I think is important for our listeners to understand, that he's still raw as a running back because he only was a starter for this past season. And I think the other interesting nugget is he actually started off as a slot wide receiver at Arizona as a freshman in 2017. He then converted to the running back position after that. So when you bring up the point about pass protection is an area he needs to improve, and he didn't start in the 2 years that he was a running back as he was making the transition, that to me makes it sound as if this is a guy that's still also getting a feel for the position. And when you're a slot wide receiver, I would wonder, and I have to go back and obviously watch the opportunities on film, how much he was asked to block maybe fellow wide receivers, how much he was asked to open things up in space. If not, then really once he took over as the starter this past season is probably, I would say, his first bulk of a taste of what it takes to be a pass protector on a consistent basis.
Yeah, and a little bit different blocking as a wide receiver than seeing some blitzing defensive end come in your face trying to kill your quarterback.
Night and day.
Two very different things. All right, let's jump to the Giants' second sixth-round pick. They selected Rodarius Williams, cornerback out of Oklahoma State with pick number 201. He was described as a press cornerback. He set the Oklahoma State record for most consecutive starts. He started all 4 years there, all 48 games. He led the team with two interceptions in his sophomore year. But he has a lot of experience, guys. Second team all Big 12 as a senior. Led team in passes defended that year with seven. So he's somebody that can do a lot of different things, but they stressed his ability to play press man coverage and his physicality. So he's a guy, unlike Brightwell, who doesn't have a ton of reps at running back, Lance, this guy has all the reps you would ever want as an outside cornerback. Though he is an older prospect, he's going to turn 25 in September.
But Chris Pettit pointed out that that maturity could actually be beneficial because you have more life experience and somebody that you don't have to worry about getting acclimated to what it takes to be a professional. The other thing that's important to note, and this I think speaks volumes about probably his transition should be quite easy, is his younger brother, because Greedy Williams, who's his younger brother, was drafted before him, if you remember, in 2019, second-round pick of the Cleveland Browns. So I'm sure he's got some exposure to the NFL through his brother. I think that's a positive. But as you mentioned, the most appealing part is the durability. The 48 straight starts, the fact that consistently going back to 2017, he also redshirted in 2016. So really, we're talking about 5 years in college. This is a lot of experience in the film room and even more important on the field. He's not Mr. Opportunistic, guys. When you look at the numbers, just two interceptions, and he had two of them in 2018 when he actually led Oklahoma State in that category. But the number that I find appealing is the 33 passes defensed in 48 games. So that means that when they have attacked him and he's been out on the island as that left corner within that Oklahoma State defense, you know, he understands how to locate the ball. He can make a play. The question is, if those opportunities come at him on the NFL level, can he bring up perhaps some of those opportunistic plays? Because you know, when you get the ball thrown to you, you've got to be able to capitalize. That, I think, is something interesting to monitor.
Yeah, and Paul, you know, it's always tough to get interceptions, too, when you're playing a lot of man, your back's to the quarterback, which makes things a little bit tougher.
Well, his brother apparently had a tremendous influence on him, even though Greedy is 2 years younger than Rodarius. Speaking of himself, though, when he was asked about his qualities, he claimed, you know, all right, I played some specials, but I'll do whatever they want. You know, he understands his durability is a real plus.
There wasn't quite the enthusiasm with the special teams as we heard with Brian.
No,
well,
no.
Well, something tells me that enthusiasm will have to change very shortly.
And very quickly, my friend.
He did express a lot of confidence in himself. At one point, the quote was, I believe that I'm going to go down as one of the great ones. Said that his brother had told him to stay on top of things, and it is a humbling moment to make it into the National Football League. I do think we don't often hear guys, when they get here, talk about how they knew from their meeting with the team during the offseason that they would probably wind up here. They don't say that very often.
And by the way, this was another meeting at the Senior Bowl, Paul.
And that's exactly what I was going to get to.
Yeah.
So Williams meets with the Giants at the Senior Bowl. He said they showed a lot of interest in him. When they sat down and spoke, he could tell they were really enthusiastic toward him. They had him diagram plays. He seemed real excited about that. And he said right then and there, he really believed that the Giants probably going to take him. He said, I knew for sure they were one of the teams that was very interested, and he thought he would wind up here.
All right, very briefly, guys, let's jump to the stuff we heard in the press conference. We can each give one take, and then we'll do more on Sunday's show, which, again, will be at noon here, right on Giants.com and the Giants mobile app. We already touched on the meetings. The Giants have stressed a lot that they've been trying to really, and Joe Judge stressed, and I guess this is where I'll go with my point, how important it is for him to have a feel for these guys. And I have a little paraphrase from him here based on what he said. He doesn't want to add people to the team that he does not have a good feel for as a person. And he feels like in order to get that feel, he wants to be with them face to face. And this goes back to how they signed the free agents, right, and brought him into the building to get a feel for them. And he says sometimes just watching the game tape is not enough. So I think that's something to keep an eye on moving forward here as we try to figure out who the Giants might draft in the future, who the Giants might bring in, that those face-to-face meetings and checking all those boxes in terms of football character is something that's very important to the head coach. Lance, what's your
any doubt?
Yeah, and I think, Paul, what I wanted to add, and then I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's fine.
Allow you to expand upon that. But I go back to, guys, and John, just listening to what you were describing that Joe Judge had to say, I was reminded of going back to training camp and just watching how he goes about conducting a practice. And if you've noticed, and I know the two of you have specifically, he will go from group to group. He'll have a one-on-one conversation with a player. He's very interested, Paul, right, in seeing what makes guys tick,
knowing
a little nugget or two, right, on a player. And I think that's why, John, to your point, when he said that he wants to get to know these guys at the draft process, something you learn about a player in a random meeting in February of the year that the kid was drafted, who knows, maybe you'll turn back to that at some point in the season and remember, oh, you know what? I know this guy's got a passion for this. Maybe I could use that to get something out of the player. He's very honed in on the details of the relationship. And I know maybe we're getting really analytical, but you know what? It's been a long few days, so my apologies.
No, Lance, you're right.
But I think, once again, that's something that jumps out to me just listening to his comments to the media. And I think that's why he's so passionate about getting to know the ins and outs of these players, because I think it helps him from a coaching standpoint.
And I'll just add to this, Lance, it reminds me of what he said at his press conference when he got hired, that every player is different. And every player you have to reach in a different way based on how they work psychologically and mentally and how you motivate them. And every guy's different. And I think that's why he does try to get the guys or get a feel for these guys on a personal basis like he does. Paul?
Gentlemen, I don't think it's any coincidence that both Bill Parcells and Tom Coughlin would actually do this very same thing.
Yep.
They would get to know little things about guys all the time, whether they were passing them in the hallway or going out before the calisthenics to just chat with the guy for 30 seconds. Those two guys made it a point that they would go through the rounds over the course of training camp and then into the season so that, in Parcells' case, he wanted to be able to push buttons on guys. Tom just wanted to know, you know, his guys as best as he could, more of a father figure.
Well, by the way, I don't think Tom was like that necessarily at the beginning either. I think he became that way. Correct, yes.
Evolved. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. But anyway, so I, Lance, I don't think your point was light at all. I thought it was actually very, very perceptive. And I think the thing that I would like to take from this, John, in talking about Ellison Smith, the pass rusher, I thought that was kind of interesting. Gettleman and Pettit both discussed very much how these guys, or him in particular, but the small school guys, you know, they go up against lesser comp, and you have to dominate lesser comp. That's number one. Before you're going to get looked at, you have to dominate that level. And then, of course, all right, now is there any chance we're going to get to see him mix with bigger level players? Well, he played against Iowa State, 90 snaps in that game, played the whole game, and was competitive from start to finish. They both like that. Then he goes to the Senior Bowl for a week. Shows up really, really well there. Fits right in with everybody else. Doesn't look like he's overmatched. The Giants really like that. And so you start checking the boxes until you start to realize maybe we really need to take this guy seriously.
And you know what the comment by Dave Gettleman, and I think it was Chris Pettit, when he was talking about exactly what you just said, Paul, you watch the Iowa State game. I wouldn't be surprised if they were actually scouting maybe an Iowa State player, right? And then all of a sudden, you keep going back through the film and you notice, who's this kid on the opposite side? Because remember, and this was a little bit different, but when Dave Gettleman talked about scouting Daniel Jones and going back maybe a year prior, Josh Allen was jumping off the tape when they looked at all the offensive linemen, because they noticed that when Josh Allen, I'm talking about the pass rusher, of course, out of Kentucky, he was challenging all these offensive linemen. So sometimes you remember a player by not wanting to study the player, by looking at the opponent and then all of a sudden being attracted to that player. It wouldn't surprise me if it played out that way with a guy like Smith.
Yeah, and the only thing I'll point out on Smith, too, is that he put on 50 to 60 pounds at Northern Iowa. He showed up at 190 and he wound up at like 255. So it's a guy that they think maybe still has room to grow as he gets into an NFL weight program, which is going to be a lot different than what he had in Northern Iowa. But the fact that he was able to do that in Northern Iowa, they think, is a sign that the hard work he put in there could translate to even better results in the NFL. Lance, what's your takeaway from the pressers?
As far as the pressers are concerned, I would go back to the Senior Bowl and just the common trend that we saw. I know Paul alluded to this, but once again, you have a six-player draft class. Four of the guys took part in the Senior Bowl. That can't be dismissed. That can't be overlooked. And Dave Gettleman emphasized it. Judge emphasized it. And so did Chris Pettit. Now, they've taken plenty of players in the past from the Senior Bowl, but I think the Senior Bowl took on a significant role in this process this year because they had more exposure to those players than they did in anybody else within this draft class. And it's no surprise you heard about all four of those guys. When the front office spoke to the media, they at least had one story or one exchange from when they were looking at the player through the plexiglass, and either how they were energetic, they like something that they mentioned in passing. I don't think, once again, there's any coincidence that they were focusing on a lot of the Senior Bowl participants because, to Joe Judge's point, they got to know the human being as much as they got to know the football player.
And the players brought up the meetings, too. It wasn't just the front office, which I thought was key. And remember, last year they did have all those face-to-faces at the combine. They did not have that this year because of the pandemic. I guess the final thing I'll bring up, I know I gave you one around, I'll give you a really quick one here. Dave Gettleman basically said what we tried to tell you guys, even back to the first round when we talked about whether or not they would take Rashawn Slater, that the team has a much higher opinion of the offensive line than the media seems to. So that's something to keep in mind. They have confidence in their group, and they're going to work with it. All right. So, guys, we are going to discuss these topics and more and go over the entire draft on our special Sunday edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live at noon. If the calls keep coming, we'll go 2 hours. If the calls stop, we're going to say goodbye. So get in. If you want to talk to us on Sunday, you certainly can. We'll be on from 12 to 2 as long as those calls keep coming in at 973-667-1960. But don't call now. This is recorded. It's not live. For Paul DeTito and Lance Meadow, this is your rapid reaction, day 3 of the draft edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live on the Giants Podcast Network at giants.com/podcast, your favorite podcast platforms, and on the Giants mobile app, presented by Investors Bank. For the boys, I'm Schmelk. We'll see you on Sunday at noon. Until then.